From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. When you think about climate change and warming temperatures, you might think states in the American South and Southwest are at greatest risk. But here in Illinois, Peoria is among the top 25 fastest warming cities in the United States, and Western Illinois is predicted to have the greatest increase in extreme heat days in the coming decades. That's of anywhere in the country, and extreme heat days are those in which the heat index is greater than 105 degrees. Back in the year 2000, we had four of those days. By mid-century, we could have more than a month's worth of days at or above 105. The warming planet means that our species, human beings, will have to learn to adapt to hotter climates. But it's not just us. Farm animals like pigs, goats, and sheep, they'll also have to learn to survive and adapt. Ultimately, hotter temperatures will affect production yields, and that can mean higher prices in the grocery store or farmers' markets. Joining us now to talk about how climate change is affecting farm animals and what farmers are having to do to address it are Dana Cronin, agriculture reporter with Illinois Newsroom and Harvest Public Media. Dana, welcome back to the 21st.
Hey, Brian. Good to be here.
Phil Borgic is the owner of Borgic Farms in Raymond, Illinois. Phil, welcome to the 21st to you as well.
Good morning.
Good morning. And also with us is Wes Jarrell, owner of Prairie Fruits Farm and Creamery in Champaign. Wes, thank you for joining us.
Appreciate you for having me.
And listeners, we, as ever, invite you to join our conversation. The number is 800-222-9455. Especially if you have a farm or livestock, how is climate change affecting you and your work? What are you doing in response? You can also call with any comments or questions you might have for our guests, 800-222-9455. And you can tweet us at 21st Show. So, Dana, I'm going to begin with you. In your reporting, what are the ways that livestock farmers are worried about their livestock with regards to a changing climate?
Yeah, you know, this story kind of got started when I was reading through a big report that came out earlier this year. I know you did a segment on it, a report from the Nature Conservancy all about how Illinois has already and will continue to change in this era of climate change. And the report talked a lot about how a hotter and a wetter climate, which we'll see here in Illinois, will impact crops. But when I spoke with one of the authors, he mentioned it's important to remember how a hotter climate will also impact livestock. You know, these farm animals will be impacted as well. Because like us, livestock can experience heat stress and even death if they get too hot. And, you know, if we continue emitting greenhouse gases at the same rate, it's going to get a lot hotter here in Illinois over the next even 30 years.
And can you just be a little more specific about, like, when you say it's going to get hotter, what is that going to look like? What is that going to feel like?
Yeah, it's already gotten hotter, and it will continue to do so. And according to that report I mentioned from the Nature Conservancy, Illinois' average temperature has already increased by between 1 and 2 degrees Fahrenheit over the past century. You know, right now we see about a week of temperatures above 95 degrees during the summer. And what researchers do to determine how much hotter it's going to get is look at a range of greenhouse gas emissions scenarios. So according to this report, if we continue emitting the same amount of greenhouse gases we're emitting now, which is unfortunately the high scenario, most of the summer in Illinois will end up being above 95 degrees. So that's a very different Illinois than we have right now.
Yeah, anyone who's ever tried to vacation in Florida in summertime in July, you have a little preview of what life will be like here, possibly.
Exactly.
Phil, I want to bring you into the conversation. Now, you raise hogs on your farm in Raymond. How do hogs and pigs, how do they handle the heat?
Well, with swine do not respirate, they do not sweat. So the only way they can release heat is by respiration and the surface being cooled off. And so that's the way it's been for years. And as we've developed a more modern system of pork production, we have been able to keep the pigs more comfortable with ventilation and misters and heaters in the winter.
So fans, mist, but pigs don't, I mean, so they don't sweat, right? You're saying they have to sort of pant? I guess that's kind of like a people might be more familiar with a dog if they don't live on a farm. That's how dogs cool themselves, right?
That is correct. They're just like dogs where they don't sweat. They have to do it by panting.
Okay. And Wes, you raise goats on your farm, Prairie Foods Farm and Creamery in Champaign. How does warming temperatures, how do they affect your goats?
Well, just like Phil said about pigs, goats don't sweat either. They pant when they get really warm. We are kind of the next step after producing animals themselves. We have to optimize conditions for milk production. So that's kind of a double whammy with climate change. When it's hot, their appetites go down, their activity goes down, and their milk production goes down typically. And even sometimes, counterintuitively, sometimes their water consumption will go down as well. So they'll get stressed in a variety of ways. So we're working on how we can mitigate those impacts and be able to keep the animals healthy, of course, but also generate enough milk to make it economically viable.
Yeah, have you already noticed changes in milk production over the years you've been doing this?
Well, I would say we have been growing quite a bit, so it's a little hard to track directly, but we certainly can see in production more days when you can see a drop in milk production. We've been doing it about 15 years, so we can definitely observe that on days that are hotter and more humid, and with hotter nights especially, which is also a big problem, they don't cool off at night, you can see the milk production going down, and there's just more of those days every year. And as you said, we know there'll be more in the future. So we're looking for methods to keep that to a minimum, keep that stress to a minimum.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about climate change and specifically how it's going to affect farmers with livestock. Our guests are Dana Cronin, agriculture reporter with Illinois Newsroom and Harvest Public Media, Phil Borgic, owner of Borgic Farms in Raymond, and Wes Jarrell, owner of Prairie Fruits Farm and Creamery in Champaign. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. So, Phil, you talked about some of the technology that you're using to sort of help keep your swine cooler, misters, fans. Is there a cost attached to that? And I mean, I imagine you're talking about something less than fully air conditioning swine barns, right? I mean, that seems like that would be prohibitive, maybe.
Yeah, that would be cost prohibitive, I'm not sure how the environment, how we could control the dust in an air conditioning environment. But so we've developed these technologies using science and then observations of our pigs through the years. I started off outside, and with these technologies, we've been able to make our pigs more comfortable. We have it's hot every summer, and so we have those reductions of consumption every year, but we've been able to reduce those by using technology.
And what are the cost? Can you talk about the cost attached to that? Is that something that gets reflected in the price of pork when people are sort of the end consumers are making their purchases?
Essentially, it does over time, because we're not we don't have a merchandising, we don't have a retail business, so we're price takers, and so it doesn't directly reflect on that. But as overall profitability changes, then that does affect the price of meat going into the future.
Dana, you spoke with some other experts about this, including someone who specializes in cattle. Can you talk a little bit about how heat affects cattle?
Yeah, and I will say it's important to remember that everything we're talking about here today is applicable to pretty much all kinds of farm animals, and that does include cows. As you mentioned, I talked to a researcher named Amanda Stone at Mississippi State University. She looked in part at how heat stress impacts their milk production. And she told me that a dairy cow starts getting too hot when the heat index gets above 68 degrees. So that's pretty cool. And when that happens, she told me their milk production can drop by up to 25%. And they can also experience health issues when they get too hot, including reproductive problems and even possibly death if they can't find a way to cool down.
And I mean, cattle, they're out on the range a lot of times. I would imagine that's even more challenging to try and get them even shade. Something as simple as shade to cool them down can be a challenge. Yeah.
She told me, you know, dairy cow producers are some of the most innovative producers out there and that they've come up with very inventive ways in some cases to keep their cows cool enough, including bringing irrigation systems out there and literally, like, you know, sprinkling the cows with water.
Interesting. Wes, what about you? What about keeping your goats cool? How have you approached that?
Well, we of course try to let the we're pastured, so we're animal welfare approved, and the goats need to be outside as much as they possibly can be. So the door's always open, and if they need to come into the barn for a shade at some point, they can. But a lot of the time, they're out in the pasture, and just like you mentioned, unless you have trees, you really don't. It's not practical to have much shade out there. So that's why we're doing the silvopasture that we're starting with our. We're continuing with our current farm plus with our new farm. And part of the intention is to provide delicious diet for the goats and a varied diet for the goats. So they'll keep eating in the heat, but also some of those trees will get big and provide shade so that if the weather's right, the goats can stay outside in the shade through the day and be able to regulate their body temperature a lot better. And also we're looking at, with the new barn, being able to actually sink that into the ground a little bit so we can get some geothermal cooling out of it, which we know is going to be really important in the future. If you go down 12 feet or so in the ground, it's going to stay a constant 55 degrees where we are. That may go up slowly over time, but not very fast. And if we can access some of that cool geothermal cooling, we'll be able to also, in a more passive way, keep the goats cool.
Fascinating. I love that idea of delicious diets for the goats. Same technique I'm using with my five-year-old to try and get him to eat more, too. Let's go to the phones. Charles is on the line from Oneida. Charles, thank you for calling in. I understand you've seen good results from cover crops.
Yes, I'm a small-scale farmer in West Central Illinois, and I'm a firm believer in cover crops. I have seen dramatic reductions in the soil temperature using cover crops by as much as 20 degrees when it is 105 on the soil surface of bare ground. It can be as low as 72 underneath the cover crops. I also want to commend the goat farmer that I just heard using silvopasture. I think there is a future for silvopasture, especially on highly erodible land. Switching from row crops on tilled ground into pasture or rotational grazing systems.
All right. Thank you so much for that call, Charles. And Wes, let me ask you about that. I'm not sure I heard that right. And we only have about a minute or so left. But so briefly, what is that?
Silvopasture is incorporating trees and shrubs into a pasture system with livestock. And so in many countries, that's just been the way things happen. And in our country, we've moved more and more away from that kind of incorporation. But when you have trees and shrubs, you provide this highly diverse, delicious diet for an animal like a goat, but you also provide other benefits like very high carbon capture. You provide other products like wood and ornamentals, even in our case, that you can sell and diversify the income stream for the farm. So I agree with Charles. I'm pretty optimistic about the future And what I found in Illinois is even some of this beautiful, incredible farmland we have has been eroded down to subsoil in some cases. And so being able to restore some of that to something approaching its former productivity is an integral part of what we're trying to do with the silvopasture system.
Wes Jarrell is the owner of Prairie Fruits Farm and Creamery in Champaign. We've also been speaking with Phil Borgic of Borgic Farms in Raymond and Dana Cronin, my colleague at Illinois Public Media. She's a reporter, ag reporter with Illinois Newsroom and Harvest Public Media. Dana, Phil, Wes, thank you all so much for being with us today here on the 21st.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And listeners, I also want to mention Dana did a video version of this story that the PBS NewsHour is expected to be airing sometime this week. We don't have an exact air date yet. Could be as early as tonight, but keep an eye on the NewsHour on your local PBS station for a video version of Dana's reporting on this. Looking forward to seeing that myself. Coming up after a short break, we're going to be speaking with Emily Oster, an economist. Her new book is called The Family Firm, A Data-Driven Guide to Better Decision-Making in the Early School Years. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.